wait, birds and snakes and airplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I am a hurricane, listen to yourself, turn world to its own needs. Dummies of your own needs, beat it up and not speed front, no strength, no matter, such a clatter with fear, fight down high. Wire in a fire, rivers in a seven games, in the government for hire, in a combat site. Let the weapon come in a hurry with the fury speeding down.
Live from New York City, the survival capital of the world, this is Starship One Radio, the cosmic superforce in broadcasting. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. You're tuned in to a very auspicious occasion, this being the successor. Starship One Radio is the successor to Radio Doomsday Live, and the various reasons why that name change has been made, but the show itself is basically the very same show, though we may be adding music later on as things move along. It's been a very, very interesting 8 months since we started Radio Doomsday Live, and now we're continuing the tradition with Starship One Radio. There were some misinterpretations regarding the Mayan calendar, and actually what amounts to a great hoax that was perpetuated by the news media relating to the Mayan calendar and the ridiculous assertion that the Mayan calendar was equated to being a doomsday calendar, and that precisely on that date of December 21st, 2012, would be the end of the world. At least some people thought that it would be, and some people did. However, the news media basically foisted this on the public. I'll be talking a little bit more about this as we move through the show. There's lots to talk about. If you would like to be part of this discussion, just call us up at our toll-free number, 1-888-429-5471. I'll repeat that, 1-888-429-5471. My name's Mike Luckman. I'm founder of the Cosmic Majority. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cosmic Majority and explain what the broad view is of that organization. The Cosmic Majority is a relatively new organization that I founded, and the idea behind it, frankly, I got the impetus for it began all the way back to the time of Reverend Jerry Falwell, if you remember him. I think he passed on, but he was a rather horrendous character. I hate to speak ill of the dead, but he really was. And he came up with this crazy, crazy, crazy notion that his brand of morality was the world's brand of morality, and that people should live that way. And he was a very, you know, arch-conservative individual, and he really brought a lot of harm to the public. The idea of Cosmic Majority is perhaps in certain ways the polar opposite. We consider ourselves moral, but, you know, a higher morality, certainly than Jerry Falwell's, and we hope that we're reflecting a higher form of spirituality. But unfortunately, we also have to be confronted with we have to deal with the very real challenges that are confronting us today that have to do with our very survival. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and, you know, one of the reasons that we changed the name of Radio Doomsday Live is that some people perhaps were offended by the title. I don't think there was any really good reason for that, but nonetheless, we've changed the title to Starship One Radio, hoping that it will attract, I'm sure it will, a much broader audience, and we, as I mentioned earlier, will be adding rock and roll music to the mix, and we'll certainly be having lots of live guests. I'm the only guest tonight. You're stuck with me, and if you want to join the discussion, I'm at 1-888-429-5471 as we celebrate the launch, the official launch of Starship One Radio, the cosmic superforce in broadcasting. And by the way, you should check out the official Cosmic Majority website with further information about the new show. And the website address is cosmicmajority.org, cosmicmajority.org. And you'll get all kinds of information. I'll tell you about the objectives of the Cosmic Majority and my adventures with some of the Mayan elders and Mayan leaders that I've had the privilege to meet over the last 8 months, really became fairly close with some of them. And they have really astounding things to say and things that still resonate beyond the December 21st so-called end date of the Mayan calendar, as I said, basically a hoax foisted on the public by the news media. I hate to say it, and we experienced somewhat of a blackout by the news media as that date got closer and closer. And I'm really, you know, appalled by that, but I'm not totally surprised because there's a lot on the line here that people will have to deal with. Now, to me, the shocker of all shockers is my discovery that 24 astronomers who all, by the way, were involved with tracking near-Earth objects, meaning asteroids or comets, have died mysterious deaths. In most cases, I'm not talking about people who, came down with a disease, and whether it's cancer or some other disease, and you can argue whether they had the disease or not. I'm not talking about that so much, although there are some of those individuals as well in the list of 24, but people who died in very bizarre ways and that really, in my mind, totally convinced me that Planet X or an asteroid or a comet or something in that bailiwick is moving toward us and threatens us, our very existence, or for, I would say, the larger part of the population of the entire world. You could see why the news media and the establishment would want to keep this under wraps as long as they can. This correlates with the third secret of Fatima. If you're a Catholic, you probably have heard of the Third Secret of Fatima. If you're not, you may have heard of it as well. But in case you haven't, it has to do with a secret supposedly given by the Virgin Mary to three little shepherd's kids. And a miracle was performed to show that this was all, very real, these secrets that were given to the kids. And the miracle had to do with 70,000 people were drawn to a open field in Fatima, Portugal, on a very rainy day, and they didn't know what to expect, but that they heard from the kids, and they didn't know whether the kids were making this up or not, that there would be a miracle would be performed. They stood there with their umbrellas, and the ground, they were soaked, it was mud on the ground. And they didn't know what to expect. And they looked up where the sun would normally be, and there were just clouds and rain. But suddenly there was some break in the clouds. And where the sun would normally be, there was this huge, what was described as a metallic disk in the place of the sun. It's been referred to in literature as the dancing sun. And it was kind of bobbing around there in the sky. And there were colors that were being given off the outer perimeter of it. And it, at one point, appeared to come down from the sky, and many of the people dropped to their knees begging forgiveness, and they thought it was, frankly, the end of the world. Well, eventually, or I guess just in a matter of minutes, that huge object, went back up to where it was and then eventually disappeared. In the process, all of these people's clothing and the ground were totally dry. And so there was something that was happening from that, what would appear to be an extraterrestrial spacecraft or flying saucer, whatever you want to call it, something that was very much related to extraterrestrials. And by the way, the Vatican now recognizes the existence of extraterrestrials in the official newspaper of the Vatican. The Vatican Observatory people are saying that extraterrestrials are our brothers. So, a lot of things are changing in the world, and very, very, very rapidly as we move now into the more toward the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is this transition that's going on now in the wake of the end of the Mayan calendar. And by the way, there are an infinite number of stars and planets that are capable of sustaining life, and that may, in fact, some of them have, quite possibly, most likely, have intelligent life. And so we live in very, very exciting times, but very challenging and also, unfortunately, very dangerous times. The deaths of these astronomers is something that I just cannot get out of my mind. To me, that was like the final confirmation that an object is coming toward us. Now, the third secret of Fatima, the first two secrets that were given to the kids had to do with the start of World War One, and also had to do with World War II. The third secret was never revealed and was supposed to be revealed a long, long time ago, but the church decided, and the popes at the time decided not to reveal it. And Pope John Paul II did accidentally, or almost accidentally, reveal it to a group of pilgrims who were in Germany, and he was quoted as saying that the third secret, that if there was something that was so terrible that in a matter of just minutes, or even less than that, perhaps seconds, that millions of people would drown as a result of massive flooding of biblical proportions, that the church wouldn't give that information out. Well, it turns out that according to the late Father Malachy Martin, whose death, by the way, was very, very strange also and may or may not be tied up with this, but he was pushed down a flight of stairs, and he said that he felt the push, but he did not see anybody push him. He would go on the old Art Bell radio show. He was on there as a guest many times, and Art Bell would, who's interviewed me quite a number of times too, would ask him over and over and over again, this goes back quite a number of years ago, what the nature of the third secret was, because he knew that Father Malachy Martin was a Vatican insider and that he had access to that secret, or he probably did. Well, he admitted finally, over many, many years of being interviewed, that it was a terrible secret, and that he would have preferred not to have been let in on that secret. And the secret had to do with what he called a bolide, or a comet, or an asteroid, and I'll call it Planet X, because that's what I think it may be. And if it isn't Planet X, Planet X, when it's approaching, may as well be, because it brings asteroids and comets from the outer edge, from the outer part of the solar system, inward toward the Earth. And it's my belief that these astronomers, or at least some of them, and probably most of them, were onto something that would be life-threatening, that could be a life-extinction event, or nearly a life-extinction event. And I think that that's precisely why they were killed. Dead astronomers don't talk. There are lots more to tell you on this, and there are lots of things that I want to get into. Many of these subjects I've discussed before on the show, but I'm taking this opportunity with the launch of Starship One Radio to go more into depth on some of these issues. Again, if you'd like to call up and join the discussion, we're at our toll-free number is 1-888-429-5471. I welcome your participation to the show. As you know, New York City recently endured this terrible Hurricane Sandy, which originally was labeled a Frankenstorm because it was coming around the time of Halloween, and nobody was prepared for this. It's interesting because I had spoken to my brother, who was in town a couple of weeks before the hurricane, maybe about a month before the hurricane hit, Hurricane Sandy. And I told him that New York was very much prone to flooding and that, you know, that it was a serious situation and that at some point it would be necessary for people living in New York to leave the island, which is not an easy thing to do. New York City is an island that's about 14 miles long, surrounded by water, And if you were here to witness what went on or saw some of the TV coverage and news coverage and photographs of this, it was really, really extraordinary. It was very difficult. And I wound up here at the at my home, which is also the base for the radio show. I wound up having to endure 5 days and nights of darkness. And let me tell you, it isn't easy. I mean, you try to get used to it. You don't have much of a choice, but it's very, very hard to adapt. And psychologically, I would say that it took me maybe 10 days to fully recover, to fully feel normal and back to normal. Also, it taught me quite a bit about preparedness, because I began at the end of that period of time. I began to run out of money. There was no way of getting money from ATM machines. So there were all these practical considerations. Here in Greenwich Village, where I live, there are, you know, people selling candles, gouging prices for candles and for everything else you might imagine. It was not an easy situation. And, of course, the delis and the supermarkets ran out of food, and what food they had they couldn't sell. So it was a real tough situation. I'm afraid we're facing more and more of these kinds of environmental disasters. And I think that the arrival of Planet X hurls these kinds of catastrophes, and it's something that we really have to pay very serious attention to and see how we can get ourselves prepared to deal with all of these eventualities. In fact, one of the thoughts that I had was, and still have, is to organize a Planet X World Summit. NASA did a very, very good job at convincing people that Planet X was a myth, that Planet X didn't exist. And there's a guy who was sort of acting as spokesman for NASA, a scientist and astrobiologist by the name of David Morrison, who went on television and proclaimed all of his concerns about this 2012 hoax being perpetrated on the people of the world, and how he was concerned that people might attempt suicide, people who might be a little on the unstable side might attempt to do harm to themselves, seeing that there could be the end of the world that might be approaching. And meanwhile, this reckless individual, David Morrison, went on television on Current TV, which is a station that was owned until recently by Vice President Al Gore, former Vice President Al Gore, and said that he knew that 25 million Americans, I don't know where he got that figure from, but 25 million Americans were stockpiling guns and ammunition and machetes. To prepare themselves for the so-called end of the world. And I challenged David Morrison to come on my show to explain where he got that information from, because it's not credible information. As far as I'm concerned, it has all of the earmarks of something that just made up for, I don't know what purpose, propaganda purposes, I guess, but it scared the bejesus out of people unnecessarily, and they misrepresented. I mean, NASA, of course, he's very close with NASA, and NASA, of course, has been telling us all these years that there's nothing really real about extraterrestrials and UFOs. Yeah, there might be life out there somewhere very, very far away. There's no evidence that we've been visited. Well, it's nonsense. There are 400, I have videotaped depositions from 400 former military people. Some of them served in military intelligence. A lot of them worked in the 60s and the 70s at the Pentagon. And they, to a T, say that UFOs are real, that they're aware that Roswell was real and involved the recovery of extraterrestrial bodies, beings. UFOs have been photographed by NASA. Above the right outside the International Space Station, seen by astronauts and cosmonauts, I've seen some of the better footage. You see these pulsing lights very, very close to the space station, but not attached to the space station. It's important that you realize that they're floating objects, and they're not just floating debris. They're definitely pulsing lights that are up there. So we're just not being told by NASA, and of course NASA is part of the Defense Department, and David Morrison's working for NASA, and so these people really, you cannot accept what they're saying as the truth, because it isn't the truth at all. Now, I'd like to move on from extraterrestrials visiting Earth to indications of life and even intelligent life on Mars, on the Moon, and elsewhere. I had the privilege of working for a short period of time with the late Tom Van Flandern, who, by the way, is another one of these individuals, a renowned astronomer, who makes the announcement, the government's initial announcement of the United States Naval Observatory when he was the chief astronomer there, that Planet X has been discovered by the United States Naval Observatory. And in any event, Tom really did a terrific job on his website and at some news conferences that I was privileged to hold with him, in which he showed, using official NASA photographs, how there was a paper trail and how their photographs showed specifically the existence of extraterrestrial, apparent existence of extraterrestrial life and even intelligent extraterrestrial life. For example, we've all heard of the famous face on Mars. Well, anyone who's been following it can tell you that there are a number of faces, and one face in the Syrtis Major region, that's Syrtis Major, was one that we brought, that Tom Van Flandern and myself brought to public attention at a news conference here in New York City a few years ago. And by the way, there's a videotape that's out called Life on Mars, the Latest Scientific Evidence, which features myself and Tom and Brian O'Leary, who was originally a scientist astronaut picked by NASA in the original program to be the first man to land on Mars. And Brian O'Leary has also died. So, you know, I mean, talk about conspiracies. I mean, Robert Harrington, the guy who used Tom Van Flandern's coordinates to search for Planet X and then did find it, and he was the chief astronomer, even over Tom, at the Naval Observatory, he died. You know, people die, but not the people who are key figures, and also some of these astronomers, quite a number of them work in pairs on various projects, and they died in pairs. And they were, you know, in the same, working for the same universities in some cases. So there's a lot to think about here. And then, of course, there are structures not only on Mars but on the Moon. Getting back to Mars, there are what appear to be what late Arthur C. Clarke called giant banyan trees or tropical type trees. I have photographs of these trees, and they're very, very impressive, and they're official NASA photographs. There are tunnels that dart in and out of the Red Planet, all over the Red Planet, and they're very large and wide, and they may have been a transportation system for an ancient Martian civilization. They may have been involved with irrigation and carried water. We really don't know. And this is very very wild. Tom Van Flandern found that there were carvings, giant carvings of animals on Mars. There are animals that we're familiar with, and the animal carvings seem to be grouped by classification, so that the mammals were together in one area and other types of animals were together in another area. Now, it begins to sound, I guess, like the Disneyland of the gods, and we must ask, of course, for what purpose were all of these carvings? Who were meant to see these carvings? I don't have the answer to that. I do not have the answer to that. Now, I was also Zechariah Sitchin. I hate to say late in each of these cases, but it's the truth. I think Sitchin died of natural causes. He was in his late 80s when he died. He died a couple of years ago. He, of course, was the man who popularized Planet X through about a dozen books that were published internationally. And Zechariah Sitchin hypothesized that that Earth had been visited by beings called the Anunnaki, who lived on a planet called Nibiru, which we commonly refer to these days as Planet X, at least those of us who believe that there is a Planet X, and I'm certainly one of them. Zechariah Sitchin really made some astounding discoveries, and a lot of them were based on Sumerian tablets and ancient writings that indicated that these very tall beings, who were also, by the way, called the Shining Ones, came down here and took what were actually at the time prehumans and combined their DNA with the DNA of these prehumans to create modern humans. And this being pretty much responsible for the, or explaining at least, the missing link, the so-called missing link. That's one theory, and one that I myself happen to subscribe to. Let me give out the number again for the show. You're listening to Starship One Radio, the Cosmic Superforce in Broadcasting. Our toll-free number is 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. Now, when I talk about the environment getting worse, whether it's as a result of Planet X being closer to Earth, and because those are certainly the kinds of effects that Zechariah Sitchin spoke about in his books, more and more volcanic activity. We've never witnessed this amount of catastrophes as we have now. The news media even has been reporting on this, saying that these extreme weather patterns are becoming normal, or becoming norm. We've never had this. A number of earthquakes and the intensity of earthquakes and all kinds of massive flooding, like Hurricane Sandy, was a very unusual weather pattern, a coming together of a number of different weather conditions that have never really come together before in our lifetime, certainly. And if anyone alive today is experiencing very extreme weather, and this is not just New York City, and it's not just the United States, it's worldwide, it's ongoing, extremes in cold and heat, and, you know, the human body is not meant to withstand this. And, of course, along with this comes disease, and more and more virulent diseases, I'm afraid, and also making it much harder, as one of the Mayan elders pointed out, to treat these diseases. The Mayans that I've been in touch with, including the Mayan Pope in Guatemala, as well as a number of other Mayans, like Hunbots Men, who is in the Yucatan in Mexico, and who is a solar priest, they very much believe, or many of them believe, in the existence of Planet X, that it comes around every 3,600 years with generally catastrophic results. They are very concerned about the sun. Now, here's somewhere else, a place where NASA tried to backpedal about everything that's been saying about the solar superstorms this year. Now, if you look at NASA's official government website, you'll see video showing these huge storms. Now, of course, the sun produces these storms all the time, but we're in right now in 2013 a solar maximum. And solar maximum comes around about every 12 years or so. And sometimes it's worse than others. But they were saying, and I firmly believe, that there is a pretty good chance that we may get hit by a solar superstorm or flare that's capable, if not incinerating us, more likely knocking out our power. Now, this would be like a setback of not only months, but years and longer. And this would plunge us literally back, or could plunge us literally back into the dark ages. Now, this isn't Mike Luckman talking. These are NASA officials talking. They're trying to downplay it now, saying, well, you never know, but it seems to be milder now, and blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't believe that for a second. It's not milder. We've had some glancing blows. We've had radio transmissions knocked out. If the power grid goes, it would take forever to repair it. And meanwhile, we would not have a way of getting food, water, transportation would come to an end. Money would basically come to an end because we wouldn't have the use of the banking systems, because the computers would be down, cell phones would be down, no communications whatsoever. And we're now, back in the dark ages, and it's every man for himself. One thing I keep saying to people who listen to this program is that you need to store up as much food. I learned this myself during the hurricane, and it only lasted 5 days, but at the end of those, by the fifth day, I had run out of food and I had water, but it became pretty rough. I ran out of money because you needed to take money out of the ATM before all this happened, while there was still an ATM, and the half of Manhattan was blacked out. Not all of Manhattan, but half of Manhattan, including downtown, which is the area that I live in. Down by Wall Street, forget about it. I mean, the water was coming in with a vengeance. And it was really very, very frightening. And New York City is talking, the officials and New York State officials are talking about instituting a flooding defense system, which would involve building a series of levees, such as they did in New Orleans. Now, this is going to take a tremendous amount of money, and what's more important, it's going to take perhaps 8 years minimum to build this system of levees. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? I'm not exactly sure. Let me give out my number again. It's 1-888. It's a toll-free number, 429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. This is Mike Luckman. The name of the show is Starship One Radio, the Cosmic Super Force in Broadcasting. We've had great guests on the show since it began, the original title up to this week was Radio Doomsday Live. And we've had some of the leading Mayan elders and leading authors and like some really well-known individuals who have extremely cutting-edge information to give to the public. And we're going to continue to get those guests, and those guests are eager to come on the show because it's one of the few shows where they can really speak their mind, and that reaches the kind of audiences that they're interested in reaching. If you have a suggestion to make for a guest on the program, or if you yourself are interested in coming on the program, I would certainly like to hear from you, and you could just get in touch with me by emailing me. Just go to the CosmicMajority.org website. That's the CosmicMajority.org website. Now, you say, what's this Cosmic Majority organization all about? Well, Cosmic Majority basically suggests to me individuals who believe in that there's life beyond Earth, that intelligent life, advanced life right now is visiting Earth, that there's life on Mars, or certainly has been a past Martian civilization, very likely life on and around the moon, near the International Space Station, throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe, and that there are different levels of existence, and that we're dealing with an interdimensional universe, and that these advanced beings, and some of them perhaps can travel without spacecraft, come in and out of our dimension regularly. If you look at the, if you go to YouTube and check out YouTube every week, you'll see, or every day, you'll see more and more UFO videos. Now, admittedly, it's very easy these days to hoax UFO videos. There are all kinds of CGI effects, and if you have the right equipment. So there's a lot of hoaxing that's being done all the time. But undoubtedly, many, many, many of the videos that are on YouTube and elsewhere are the real deal. They're showing things that are just amazing. These lights or these objects seem to be coming closer as perhaps we're more open to having contact with them. Whether or not they represent the Anunnaki, the beings from Planet X, which may be coming back here in a relatively short period of time, we don't know. I should mention, by the way, that the Anunnaki, and this is one of those twists of fate, I guess, but the Anunnaki came down here not for the intention of jump-starting the human race, per se, but they came down here in search of gold. They, according to Sitchin, they needed gold to line their atmosphere, because each one of the planets in our solar system is like day and night from one to the other, and their physics and everything about them seem to be different. And in the case of Planet X, which swings in a very far-ranging orbit that puts it at times on the outer edge of our solar system, where there's a tremendous amount of comets and, you know, possibly planetoids and asteroids, and some of which, some of these objects perhaps coming toward Earth right now, are coming toward Earth right now. In fact, there's an asteroid that's going to be lower than our satellites. It's not expected to impact Earth necessarily, probably will not, but it's, it is on its way toward Earth, and it's supposed to arrive here, I believe it's in about 2 weeks or so. So there's more and more and more of these objects coming toward us. But anyway, the Anunnaki from Planet X or Nibiru come here, and they were interested in getting, having a way that they could mine gold and use this gold to line their atmosphere. And according to Sitchin, and I believe him, they've created humans by combining the DNA of prehumans with their own DNA, and they also bioengineered us, and this is something that we can't forgive them for, in a way that we would have a limited lifespan compared to theirs anyway. I think that the average lifespan these days might be around, I don't know, perhaps pushing 80 years old now, and there could be a time very soon when people live to be 100 or more. But in that, the Anunnaki, according to historical records, appear to have lived hundreds of years, perhaps much longer than that, here on Earth and elsewhere. And they also ingested a white powder gold, which incidentally is available on the internet. And I'm not endorsing it right this minute, but I got to tell you something. I've spoken to people. There's no way to know exactly. There haven't been certainly clinical tests on it. But this white powder gold would seem to fight the disease and extend life, and might be worth trying at some point. I might try it myself. But anyway, they had come down here to, create basically use us as slaves, and then later on we were no longer being used as slaves, and we were freed, and we have built the civilization that we've built, based a lot of it on some fundamentals that they taught us. And by the way, when they landed, one of the places they landed was in ancient Samaria, which is in northern Iraq, of all places. So go figure. It's kind of lots of twists and turns, And again, let me give out the number since we're doing the show as a under a new title. It's Starship One Radio you're listening to, and that's where the Cosmic Force, Super Force in broadcasting. We're on, by the way, on BBS Radio on the Internet. It's bbsradio.com on station number 2, and we're on every Thursday night. We've been on for more than 8 months now. Every Thursday night live at 12 midnight Eastern time and 9 p.m. Pacific time. We're on for an hour. You can call us up if you want to participate in the program. We normally have expert guests in all kinds of fields, and that will be continuing as of next week. I just wanted to give you sort of an overview on this program. There's so much to talk about. I've been involved in UFO activity now for about research for about 25 years. I'm also director of the New York Center for Extraterrestrial Research, and as I've mentioned before, Bill and Hillary Clinton were given the opportunity by the late Lawrence Rockefeller, the oldest of the four Rockefeller brothers, was very interested in UFOs, to get the word out about the UFOs, and Rockefeller was pushing the White House, and particularly Bill and Hillary Clinton, and entertained them at his J.Y. Ranch in Wyoming, and showed them once secret evidence that we were being visited, documents that indicate, among other things, that nuclear weapon storage facilities had been visited by extraterrestrial spacecraft, not for the purpose, clearly not for the purpose of doing any harm to us, but rather for the purpose of I think, keeping a check on us, like a intergalactic peace force, if you will. And but they also, you know, UFOs, according to these documents, have also had contact with, or at least they've buzzed, commercial airline flights. So there are national security implications. By the way, also, Robert Stanley was a guest on some months ago on my program. He's based in Washington, D.C., and he has amassed an amazing trove of photographs showing UFOs over Washington, D.C. since the 1950s all the way up to the present time. So something really quite spectacular and very important is going on with national security implications, perhaps. Hillary Clinton told Rockefeller not to bring the subject up anymore to herself or to the then-president, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton told Rockefeller personally that it was a subject that he was afraid to get involved with because it was like political quicksand, and he was just afraid that it would just create more and more problems for him. Rockefeller was interested in blowing open the files on the Roswell case in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, which involved the recovery of four, as far as we know, four alien beings, bodies of four alien beings that were recovered and by the Army Air Force at the time. And so it just the extraterrestrial angle is like really, really important, because many people believe, as I do, that we're living in the end times. I'm not coming at this from a biblical perspective personally, but I have to tell you that what's said in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, particularly the New Testament, about the end times just resonates stronger and stronger every week with new information that comes. We have birds by the tens of thousands of falling out of the sky. We have mammals and fish by the hundreds of thousands washing up on the shore. We have big, big problems, and as I said earlier, all kinds of volcanic activity and all kinds of earthquakes and all kinds of flooding and tsunamis, and of course we experienced a terrible meltdown in Fukushima, Japan, of a nuclear power plant, and that's something that is really an ongoing situation that's extremely concerning to me and to others, because that radiation is spreading. It's spreading via fish, and it's spreading in the air, and it's nothing that we should panic about at this stage, but certainly it does pose an immediate health hazard, I believe, for people living in parts of Japan at least, and ultimately, I mean, some of that debris, enough of it from Fukushima, is coming to the is near the west coast, off of California, and so there's all kinds of concerns about even, in fact, tuna has been there's above normal levels of radiation in tuna, as being redfin tuna that's being fished out on the Pacific Ocean. So there are lots of things that we need to deal with, and we need to deal with it immediately. And it's not science fiction, and it's not something that David Morrison will tell you about, because they want to keep a cap on it. And but it's important that people gear up for these obviously difficult times, and these times are happening right now. Now, I want to just go to the. I guess we're running out of time, but I want. We have about close to 15 minutes left. So, in the remaining 15 minutes, I want to talk about the transition back to the importance of the Mayans and their calendar. It was never about the end of the world on December 21st, 2012, the end date of the Mayan calendar. What it was about is that in this general period of time, the Mayans believe that we are being confronted by devastating earth changes, and they also believe that a pole shift could happen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the worst case scenario of all, if it ever happens. And if I had to hazard a guess as to when that might happen, based on what I've learned from the Mayan elders and what the Mayan elders agree with the Hopi Indian elders, I would say that that kind of scenario could perhaps go down, they feel anyway, within 2 years. Now, this has got to put a whole different perspective on the way that people are living, because, you know, I don't care how much money you have and how much power you have. The fact of the matter is that if life as we know it is going to come to an end, perhaps, for a very large segment of the population, and that one day you're in New York and a matter of seconds or minutes later, you're in the other part of the world because of the outer mantle of the Earth shifts, which the Mayans believe and the Hopis believe happens about every 24,000 years. I mean, the only reason that I'm not, like, really totally scared is that 24,000 years is a pretty wide, every 24,000 years or so is a pretty wide window of opportunity, so-called a terrible opportunity, but a window nonetheless. And so, you know, to nail it precisely to a year from now or 2 years from now or right now or 5 or 10 years from now, it's very, very, very hard to say. But what I can say with a fair amount of certainty is that we're living in those end times now, and however many years we may have left, we need to make these years, we need to do everything we can to not only protect ourselves and our loved ones, our family members, our friends, and ourselves, but we also need to make time count, not only in terms of survival and preparedness, but in terms of what we, you know, what we do. And, of course, there's a whole other angle on this, and that has to do with, you know, whether, in a worst-case scenario, if people pass on, if they, you know, where they go, if they go. And I personally believe, I've never really been too big on the theory of reincarnation, but putting that one aside for right now, we'll talk about that on one of these other upcoming program, but putting that aside for now, I do believe that life continues in a non-physical form. The evidence of that is extremely, extremely strong and very compelling. And so we need to develop ourselves more spiritually to be able to, be in the right place at the right time, so that when this ascension may come, that we're going to be well positioned and be able to, experiencing something that we've never experienced before, not of a physical nature, more of a spiritual nature. And the Mayans believe that, that we've entered that period now. Perhaps that might include a development of a sixth sense, being able to, and perhaps involving the way that we communicate with each other and with extraterrestrial beings, whether they're the Anunnaki or whoever. And by the way, if the Anunnaki ever land, to put in the words of one of the of an expert on Neil Freer, who I was on this show not that long ago, who was a friend of Zechariah Sitchin, they owe us. They owe us big time. And I said to Neil, well, should we ask for reparations or what should be our position vis-a-vis the Anunnaki when and if they land? And he said, no. He said, but technologically, obviously, they could help us a great deal because they're obviously highly advanced. And when we talk about highly advanced extraterrestrials, by the way, some scientists have said that extraterrestrials could be 100,000 times more intelligent than us, a million times perhaps more intelligent than us. I mean, it's almost impossible for us to imagine beings that are 10 times more intelligent than average humans. So, there's a lot to learn, and I think that's why we're put here in the first place, to learn. And we're now being tested and challenged by nature. Civilizations rise and fall, and that's the history of the Earth, I guess the whole universe. And so we're living in very exciting and yet very perilous times, and we need to get it together as quickly as we can. I would think that particularly if we have less number of years than we might hope for, quality years anyway, that we should use that time to learn who we are and what our place is in the universe. And that's what the cosmic majority concept is all about, is bringing that information forth via this radio show getting the word out to the media and to the public via the internet. And again, the website for Cosmic Majority and this radio show, by the way, is cosmicmajority.org. That's cosmicmajority.org. You can also get information about Starship One Radio, which is a new title for our show, from bbsradio.com. We're on station number 2, and we're carried every Thursday night at 12 midnight Eastern time and 9 p.m. Pacific time on station number 2 on BBS. So be sure to tune in. You can always reach us on our toll-free number, 1-888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471. It's been really a learning experience getting with the Mayan elders. And, we need to start to respect not only the Mayans, but the Hopis and the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans and our place all over, our origins all over the world. Because what's interesting is that all of these traditions speak of the same thing, have drawings and carvings of beings from the sky. Now, were these things all myths? I don't believe that they were myths at all. There are too many things that coincide, and they all talk about a planet, a red planet. Some call it the Destroyer, some call it Planet X, some call it Nibiru, some call it Marduk, some call it, some won't, may deny it's a planet, but they're talking about a comet. The New Testament talks about the Wormwood Comet, for example. Sounds very much like the bolide that that Father Malachi Martin was talking about in regard to the third secret of Fatima. A lot of things are happening. We've just begun to open our eyes to the things that are around us. And as I said a number of times during this broadcast, we're living in extremely exciting times. In fact, the people of ancient times, the prophets, if you will, hoped that they knew that they wouldn't be alive, but they wished that they could be alive at this time. You know, there was a UFO that came down, I guess that was probably close to a year ago now, near the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount, of course, is where all three religions come together in Jerusalem, and it was originally King Solomon's, the site of King Solomon's Temple, and now it's controlled by the Palestinians, but it's revered as one of the holiest places on the planet. And right there in Jerusalem one night, a flying saucer comes down, and it's photographed by several different cameras, three or four different cameras, including the weather camera, by the way, which takes pictures every 10 seconds, which is the official Jerusalem weather camera. And it's not lying. There is an object that comes down. You can see it in the video, and it's on YouTube. It comes down adjacent to the, sort of as a forerunner, I think, almost to the second coming. It would appear to be that. And it comes down and toward the horizon, and it suddenly like zips right back up, and there's an explosion of maybe about a dozen or so red lights, and then it all vanishes away. But it was shot from different directions, so we know it's not a hoax. It's not made up. And the fact that it's happening at this particular time, together with so many other things, you know, you talk about the plagues of Egypt. Well, you know, all kinds of plagues that are happening, or things that are like plagues. I mean, locusts are back. Bumblebees have vanished. There's even, if you want to go there, even a mysterious red color in rivers in various countries. Where is that coming from? And these loud booms that nobody knows being heard throughout, you know, various states. So it's just a lot of peculiar, unusual activity that seems to correlate with the biblical predictions of the end times, which I believe, again, is generally the period that we're living in right now. I'm going to leave on that note. There's a lot for you to digest. Please be sure to tune us in next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, 12 midnight Eastern time. This is Mike Luckman, Starship One Radio, the Cosmic Super Force. Turn world to the dumb needs, dummies serve your own needs, beat it up a notch, speed front, no strings.